The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
It's been a busy week up at Halas Hall. A lot to talk about when it comes to the Bears. Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zedman. We'll start with the news of the day as the Bears conclude their final OTA session. So 10 in the books. Mandatory minicamp is next week, and then a long break before the Bears start training camp. But Jim, the Bears announcing today that they're going to conduct two joint practices with the Indianapolis Colts in Indy on August 19th and 20th in advance of their August 22nd preseason game in Indianapolis. It's closed to the public, but John Fox calls it a changeup, says the competition increases at practice as a result, while Chuck Pagano, the Colts coach, says scheme-wise, you get to see some different things on both sides of the ball. And you've been around the NFL a long time, Jim, and you know Bill Belichick, I think, has started this trend since the new CBA was signed where you know he'll scrimmage against a team, he'll play all of his veterans in a controlled atmosphere, and then when those two teams meet in the actual preseason game after those practices, the rookies will get the majority of the time. This is the new wave in the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I love it. I think it really allows coaches and scouts and front office personnel to evaluate players in a very competitive atmosphere. You know, because we all know, I don't want to say it's a union deal when you're always practicing against each other, but it's the same looks. But the level of competition, as John Fox mentions, increases. I just go back to my rookie season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We always scrimmaged the Buffalo Bills and the Washington Redskins every year. You know, for me as a rookie, I was facing a guy like a Daryl Green. I mean, I got some great looks and great competition of to know what level I had to play at in the National Football League. So it was a good indoctrination. So even though the veterans do get plenty of the quality work, the team drills, you get the one-on-ones, all those young players will get experienced and thrown in to those drills as well. And I just think now because of the new practice schedule with the CBA, you're going one a day, so you want it as a competitive atmosphere as you can against different looks where you can evaluate in those type of situations. More teams are doing it. Unfortunately, I guarantee you, Zach, I bet you at some point the NFLPA is going to try and fight against this in the near future. But for players, it's good form. It really is going to make them a better player in the long run, getting thrown into those competitive situations, something that is similar, you know, almost game-like, not close to game, but it's almost close to a game-like level that players are thrust into to perform. So it's actually a good thing, but I just think the players will fight it in the future.
And for a team that's had difficulty over the last few years beating Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't hurt to have the kind of practice time they're going to have against one of the best young quarterbacks in football in Andrew Luck.
There's no doubt. I mean, this guy has been unbelievable since he arrived on their doorstep. One, Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, hit the lotto. I mean, who hits? They draft Peyton Manning and then the Packers didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, they went from Favre to Rodgers, but yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, between the Packers and the Colts, who's got it better than them? Nobody in terms of the quarterback situation, but Andrew Luck is phenomenal. Even if you were to go back at his days at Stanford, Pep Hamilton was working with him then. He's now his offensive coordinator in Indianapolis. He's very good at personnel groupings. And you want to know what? With them drafting Philip Dorsett, a very talented wide receiver out of Miami, this is going to test this Bears defense. You know, they're trying to install a 3-4, and then you've got all these different personnel groupings that Philadelphia can go in and – or not Philadelphia, Indianapolis can go in and out of. You look at their tight end sets, they got three tight ends. Jack Doyle from Western Kentucky. We already know about Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen, who is the John Mackey Award winner. They drafted him as well. Their receivers, they're loaded. And now you look at their offensive line, they added Todd Harriman. Costanzo's been a very serviceable left tackle. You wonder if they're thinking about adding Evan Mathis, who was released today by the Philadelphia Eagles. Ryan Grigson has a past with Evan Mathis. So very good football team, be a very good test for the Bears, and really for them to get up to snuff prior to that preseason game.
There's some interesting news made on the practice field this week, and we'll start on the offensive line. The Bears have a number of players that are banged up. So this week, Kyle Long, the Pro Bowl guard for the Bears, was moved to right tackle. John Fox saying that it's just him getting used to a new position. In the event that someone gets injured during a game, it won't be the first time, if you have to shuffle the line around, that a guy like Long, who probably can play any position on the line, gets to move to the tackle position.
Yeah, well, he's a terrific athlete. It's a credit to him in his versatility. He gets to get his feet wet at another position at the tackle spot. He could do it because he's just so, you know, he's country strong, as we would say. And normally your right tackle needs to be your right tackle, right guard, as Tom Thayer always mentions. That's really your power side, where you're going to run the football historically with the power type of plays. And so it makes sense, because even though Jerron Bushrod was out, they didn't try Kyle Long at left tackle, even though he's probably athletic enough to do that, because his strength is an asset. And that's really where it will benefit the Bears the most, whether it's at guard, whether it's at right tackle, on those power plays for Matt Forte to make hay running the football.
And there's been a lot of talk, and you knew it was coming. It started when Kyle Long was drafted because of his athleticism and his power. The fact that he's so physically gifted, a lot of people felt that ultimately he would be at one of the outside positions on the offensive line. But the reality, Jim, is I think it would be silly to move him. If everyone's healthy, there's really no need to move him to the other side, because you take a look at Ndamukong Suh, for example. There's a reason this guy's the highest paid defensive player in football. You look at the way teams now place an emphasis on being strong on the interior of these defensive lines. You have to have someone like Kyle Long in order to help you with the running game and protect that quarterback from getting hit up the middle.
Yeah, but a lot of teams do, though, start guys out at guard and then kick him out to tackle. The reason why I say that, because Kyle Long comes with minimal starts at Oregon. I think it was 5 total when he was there, and we know about his baseball career down at Florida State. And there are a lot of teams that have done that. They'll start a guy out at guard and then kick him out to tackle. Again, it's a credit to their athleticism, but they want to break him in, so to speak. Say, like New Orleans. New Orleans Saints may try Andrews Pete, who they drafted at Stanford, out at guard, because they've already got Zach Strief at right tackle, and they've already got Armstead, at the left tackle spot. So they'll break in Pete there and then move him out. Cincinnati's going to do the same things with their 2 draft picks when you look at Fisher and Cedric Abui. So it's not atypical, but typically it's where can we get the best 5 guys on the field. And that's really what it is. So think about a guy who's a free agent out there who I just mentioned, Evan Mathis. Every team in the league other than Philadelphia that just cut him should be interested in Evan Mathis. You put him at guard, and then you can kick Kyle Long out of tackle. Are you kidding me? That would be a pretty good 5. Supposedly New England's looking at Evan Mathis. The Rams, we know they got offensive line issues. They're looking at Evan Mathis, and the Miami Dolphins are also interested. But I see a team like the Bears. Why wouldn't they be interested if you want to bolster your offensive line?
And before we hit our first break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, the Bears made a move that's considered minor, but this is a guy who's got plenty of experience, and I'm talking about the veteran cornerback that was signed earlier in the week, Tracy Porter, who has experience with Ryan Pace from his days in New Orleans, as well as John Fox when he played briefly for Fox in Denver.
Yeah, he was a superstar. Think about it. He had the game-winning interception in their Super Bowl victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Pick 6 over Peyton Manning and John Fox. They know the type of player. They know the character that comes with Tracy Porter. Has had a little bit of an injury history, but I think they know it's a player that they can count on. Adds depth to the secondary, and they get a high-character player as well.
Yeah, John Fox saying that he can play all 3 spots in sub-defenses. Yep. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we will visit with veteran Bears safety Ryan Mundy next. This is Bears All Access with Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Along with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Meet the Rookies, brought to you by Chicago Tribune Digital Plus, profiles 4 members of the Bears 2015 rookie class, Tayo Fabaluje, Hronis Grasu, Cameron Meredith, and Kevin White. It chronicles each player's unique path to the NFL and Halas Hall in their own words. Meet the Rookies airs Friday night at 9:30 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, immediately following Fox 32 News. All right, it's time to welcome in our first guest on Bears All Access this edition. It's Ryan Mundy, the Bears veteran safety and good friend of the program. And Ryan, I know you're always busy during the offseason, not just making yourself a better player, but also preparing for life after football. So give me an idea, before we get to the football stuff, what are the big things that have been on your agenda so far this offseason?
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. Like you said, I've been really, really busy this offseason, particularly because I enrolled in an MBA program at the University of Miami, and that program is a residency program, and I'll be there. I was there 2 weeks in February, March, and then I have to go back next Sunday for 2 weeks from the 22nd to July 3rd. And then there's some online components throughout the season that I'll have to take care of. And then I'll have to repeat the same residency schedule February, March, and June next year. And then I have a completed MBA. But, you know, the whole idea behind that is just to make sure that whenever I'm done playing football, that I'm prepared and ready to move on with my life. Because the reality of the situation is, whether you play 2, 3, 4, or 5, or, you know, you play 8 years like myself, or hopefully I could play 10, at some point you're going to have to stop playing football. And when that day comes, I want to be prepared.
Well, in terms of your management of your time, I also understand you just wrapped up your annual youth football camp. You're throwing out the first pitch at the Cubs game this Sunday. I mean, how do you schedule everything? Do you have some like crazy iPhone app, or what do you got going on?
Man, I've been all over the place. My schedule is pretty hectic. I just want to make sure I don't pull a 50 Cent and at least get the ball across the good cross home plate when I throw that first pitch. No, actually, I was a pitcher in Little League, so I should be okay. But you never know when those lights are on, and I haven't threw a baseball in, almost 20 years.
Well, it sounds like you're moonlighting a little bit with football right now, but as you mentioned, hopefully you play many more years in the National Football League. But when you just wrapping up your youth football camp, what do you try to stress to the youngsters when you host a football camp like you just got done doing?
Well, I do the camp back in Pittsburgh at my high school, Willing Hills High School, in collaboration with my high school and college teammate, Steve Breston. And this is the fifth year that we've done it, and it's free for boys and girls ages 8 through 13. And the main thing that we want to get out of our camp is just a community and bringing kids together and having a good day. And we really like to get out in our community, particularly because they've been very supportive of us throughout our college and professional careers, and even in high school as well. So the main thing for us is just to get back out in the community, interact with the kids, and let them know that we were just like them at one point. We sat in the same classrooms that they sat in. We went to the park like they did. We hung out at the mall like they did, but, you know, we still accomplish our goals and our dreams. So if we could do it, they could do it as well.
Visiting with Bear Safety Ryan Mundy, just want to follow up on something that you talked about, because you do work with the kids, and I know how much pride you have in that and how much you want to help out. Do you hear from the parents, especially when it comes to safety and youth football?
I have had some questions about that, and I know there's been a grassroots movement by the NFL to train and prepare coaches, youth and Pop Warner football coaches, how to prepare their kids and train them up and keep the head out of the game, the heads up movement. But, you know, parents are always going to be concerned. My mom was concerned when I first started playing football, because the reality is it's a violent and dangerous game, but you want to be as safe as possible.
Well, Ryan, let's move on to the football side of it. We talked to your dynamic duo teammate, Nantrell Roll, last week. Know you guys have played well together. And he really talked about out at the OTAs, there's been just a lot of listening by the players, a lot of teaching and coaching, you know, say like of Vic Fangio, your defensive coordinator. Want to hear your standpoint in terms of how the install has been going from your point of view in the secondary.
It's been going well, to be honest with you. It is a process. It's new for everyone involved, and even for the coaches. Sometimes it seems like, because, we have a blend of San Fran and, Sam Garns is from Denver. We have other coaches from other places. So, everyone is still trying to figure everyone out and still trying to figure the scheme out. But when we get out there on the field, we're communicating and we're working through whatever issues that we may have. And there's always going to be a learning curve, but I think up until this point, we've done a really good job.
Visiting with Bear Safety Ryan Mundy here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You were obviously around last year when things didn't go well defensively, and the Bears were running a completely different scheme. This new 3-4 under Vic Fangio. Now, you played for Dick LeBeau, who's considered one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of football. Vic Fangio mm-hmm. is one of the best in the business right now. How similar, mm-hmm. what you guys are running now, how similar is it to, say, what you did in Pittsburgh?
There are some similarities with the defense that we're running now compared to the defense that I ran in Pittsburgh. But the biggest thing is we don't let people just run free on the field. We match routes and we put pressure on the quarterback. But, you know, as far as like, you know, coverages, and there's a lot of different coverages that Coach Fangio is running that we didn't do in Pittsburgh. So, you know, everyone has their own spin and flavor that they like to put on their defense. But for the most part, the biggest similarity is putting pressure on the quarterback and matching up routes.
Well, for guys like you and Antrell Roll, coverage is coverage, no matter what front it is, even though they may ask you to do some different coverages. But how is it for young guys like Brock Vereen, or even a young guy like Adrian Amos, who was drafted by the Bears this year, in learning a new scheme? At least you and Antrell have the benefit of having that experience and gone through this process before.
Yeah, I think for those guys, you know, because they're still so young, and this is Adrian's first time around, so he's not like Brock, where he had to learn the defense last year, and now he almost felt like he got comfortable and knew what he was getting into this year, and then had to learn a completely new defense.
Right.
You know that, but he's doing well there, and they're actually both doing well, and those are two guys that are really athletic, and you know, they can get to the ball and cover a lot of ground, but they're doing fine right now. But I think the biggest thing that I realized for myself is this is the fourth different defense that I've ran in 4 years. So you date back to Pittsburgh when I was with Coach LeBeau. Then I was in New York for 1 year with the Giants with Perry Fuel. And then last year with Mel, and then this year with Vic Fangio. And then I had to take a step back. I'm like, wow, this is my fourth defense in 4 years. But, you know, like I said, there's a learning curve and everyone is adjusting. But the main thing is you just put the time in and work hard and everything will work out.
Let me follow up with this, Ryan, because that's a great, you know, examples that you just threw out there. For you as a veteran player, do you just scrap everything you learned, or do you use it as carryover? Oh, in this defense, maybe we called it this, but this is how it was run. And maybe it's easier to marry, so to speak, when you come with that experience.
Sometimes you can do that, but at the end of the day, you have to speak the language that we're speaking in the building. So if you need to use that as a transition point, then you could do that. But there are, beyond that, I mean, there's just little tidbits and little nuances that you may have picked up along your career. Like, for instance, some things that we did in Pittsburgh that I could translate over here and say, well, this is how I played this route, or this is how I played this similar type coverage in Pittsburgh, and it worked well for me, so I can do that here. But the most part, you know, we all have to be on the same page as far as communication-wise.
The biggest thing we hear, and we're visiting with Ryan Mundy here on Bears All Access, the biggest thing that I've heard talking to different players throughout this offseason is that the massive culture change that's taken place at Halas Hall because of the new regime. You've been through many in your career. You just talked about how four different defenses in 4 years. What stands out about the way this coaching staff goes about putting together a football team?
Well, honestly, massive might be an understatement. I mean, we completely redid everything from the wait staff to the weight room. Everything is just a whole new approach, and I like it. And it was definitely a much needed change. There's just a positive vibe, a positive energy about being in the building. These coaches, if you look at it, we pretty much have an all-star coaching staff. We have one of the best defensive coordinators in the game, one of the best offensive coordinators in the game, and a highly well-respected head coach who has won everywhere that he's been and been to a Super Bowl pretty much everywhere that he's been. So we have an all-star coaching staff, and these guys are fired up every day that they come to work, and they're ready to coach us and ready to get us better. And the players have really been receptive of that. And it's really become a place where, you know, you're loose. You could feel like you could be your best here now, and the players are really responding well to that.
Well, can you talk about your new teammate, Tracy Porter? Probably had one of the biggest plays of his career, the pick six in the Super Bowl against Peyton Manning. Know he's got a history with John Fox, but have you ever crossed paths with Tracy Porter before? And what give the listeners your thoughts on your new teammate.
I have not crossed paths with Tracy, although we did come out the same year in the same draft in 2008. But this is my first experience with him as a teammate. But that was an iconic moment. Yeah. I mean, that moment will live forever in Super Bowl lore, what he did. But Tracy's a very smart player. Just in the two practices that I've worked with him, he's a veteran guy, knows what he's doing, knows where to be, and knows how to do it. So he's already up to speed, and he's only been here 3 days. So hopefully he'll come into training camp and be ready to work, and I know he will, actually. And, you know, we'll get this team back on track and get ready for the season.
Ryan, we'll get you out on this. The Bears announcing today that they're going to conduct those two joint practices with the Colts in Indianapolis heading into that preseason game against the Colts. What do you think about that as a veteran player to have to go straight from training camp and a first preseason game, and all of a sudden those practices are going to get heated down there in Indy?
Yeah, I'm sure they will. This is my first experience, and this will be my eighth training camp. With joint practices, but I look forward to it. And I think, like you said, one of the many changes that's been implemented around here, that's going to give us an opportunity to go and compete, an extra opportunity to go and compete. And I think, you know, coaches, there seems to be a lot of joint practices going on this year. Earlier, I mean, teams hardly ever did that. But I think, you know, with the way that the CBA is structured now, coaches are looking for opportunities for the guys to get more competitive reps and get some live action and get those juices flowing. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun.
Well, I've got one more before you go. What's going to be your opening pitch at the Cubby game? You got a knuckleball in you? What, are you going curve? You going fastball since you were pitching? What are you throwing? Give us the insight here.
I mean, I threw a pretty mean curveball for an 11-year-old, but like I said, I haven't threw it in quite some time. So I'll probably just go with a fastball.
Two-seam
sure
or four-seam? We need all the details here.
He just wants to get it over the plate.
I'm just trying to get it over the plate. And then I got to do the seventh-inning stretch. So I need to all I know is take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd. And I got to, you know, Google the words. So I might have it on my phone when I do it.
Hey, if you want, you know, you have free reign right now on the radio program to start singing, you know, just to get the practice rep in. We'll give it to you right now.
I think I'll pass. But thanks for the opportunity, though.
Well, good luck at Wrigley Field getting that pitch over the plate. We appreciate your time, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Veteran Bear safety Ryan Mundy spending some time. Jim, did you ever get the chance, out of all the places that you played, did you ever get a chance to throw out a first pitch?
No, but I would have come with a plan, a two-seam or a four-seam cut fastball. Come on, Ryan. I mean, this ain't amateur hour, right? He was a pitcher growing up.
Yeah, you would have shaken off the catcher, and, you know, you would have been up there forever. I know you. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll recap what we just heard from Ryan Mundy. A lot of interesting stuff here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tickets for the Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest go on sale Friday. Come to Soldier Field on August 8th for a fun-filled event highlighted by a team scrimmage. Find out more information on the events page at ChicagoBears.com. Alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaveman. Coming up in our next segment, your opportunity to join the program at 312-644-6767. Tom Thayer will call us, and you'll have an opportunity to ask Tom. So basically the way it works is, and Jim, you know this, you play the role of judge. You've got that gift certificate to Sports Authority in your hand. We go rapid fire with the phone calls for Tom Thayer. Anything in the world of football is fair game. And at the end of the segment, Judge Jim Miller picks out the best caller of the segment, and that caller will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of the former Bears QB. We just finished, Jim, talking to Ryan Mundy, the veteran Bear safety, and a lot of interesting things that he had to say, including the changes taking place at Halas Hall this offseason. He said massive would be an understatement, but he said it in a very positive way. I think the guys are excited about the fact that they feel as though they've got a coaching staff that can lead them to success if they follow the itinerary.
Yeah, I definitely think that, because John Fox, he's a man with a plan now. I say it all the time. This is not his first rodeo. He's led more than one team to a Super Bowl. Didn't always culminate in a Super Bowl championship, but John Fox knows what it takes to win. And he is laying that foundation for the Chicago Bears. I love the sign he put up before the guys go out to the practice field. You walk down this hallway. It says, lead, follow, or get out of the way. And that's John Fox to the hilt, because if you're not going to help this team win, he's got no use for you. So guys have probably learned that real quick of what John Fox expects of them.
The Bears just wrapped up the 10th of 10 OTA sessions, and the next test in the football offseason comes next week, a three-day mandatory minicamp. Martellus Bennett has not shown up yet, but that was voluntary stuff up until now. Do you expect that he'll be at Halas Hall next week?
I would think so, because there's implications. You know, he'll get fined about $72,000. And most times that's when players do show up, when their pocketbook is going to get hit. Coaches want him there the entire offseason. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, again, I mentioned about the experience of John Fox. He doesn't worry about it, because it's the protest season. You got guys for the Jets. Muhammad Wilkerson wants a new contract. The other players across the league. We call this the protest season in terms of wanting a new contract. John Fox has no control over it. Come next week's minicamp, then he does. And so we'll see what happens, whether Martellus wants to show up for that. If he doesn't have any use for 72 grand, I don't think most guys are in the business of just giving their money away. And I don't think Martellus Bennett is in that you know, that type of position either.
Do players in the locker room understand, because you mentioned it, this is the only opportunity during a calendar year where a player has an opportunity to take care of the business of football, if you will. So do the other guys in the locker room understand when players go through what they're going through?
Yeah, I think players do. I think for the most part, it's never good for, you know, other players on your team to get involved in your business. And I think players for the most part understand that golden rule. Every player is different with how they deal with their contract situation. But again, come next week at the minicamp, there are consequences now. So John Fox, he's not going to worry about the small stuff because he can't control it right now. But next week he will be able to control some things concerning the Bears tight end.
Coming up next, we will play Ask Tom, your opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority, asking football questions to 85 Bear Tom Thayer. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, and there are a lot of different directions we can go. We can start with the Bears-Colts practices leading up to their preseason game in August. Kyle Long moving from Tom's old position of right guard to right tackle this week on the practice field. The addition of Tracy Porter. Talked about Martellus Bennett. What about Alshon Jeffrey? You heard John Fox this week call him not just a hard worker, but a guy who can really take that next step in the NFL. So many different things that we can discuss that you can talk to with Tom Thayer next. 312-644-6767. Zach Zaidman and Jim Miller with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A Chicago Bears Network exclusive, Meet the Rookies, brought to you by Chicago Tribune Digital Plus, profiles four members of the Bears 2015 rookie class, Tayo Fabaluje, Hronis Grasu, Cameron Meredith, and Kevin White, and chronicles each player's unique path to the NFL and Halas Hall in their own words. Meet the Rookies airs Friday night at 9:30 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, immediately following Fox 32 News. Zach Zaidman, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, and Tom Thayer joining us now via the phone line for our Ask Tom segment at 312-644-6767. We go rapid fire with your phone calls for Tom Thayer. At the end of the segment, Judge Jim Miller picks a winner, and the best caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But before we go out to your phone calls, Jim, I know you probably have a question for Tom, so we'll start with that, and then we'll get to the phone calls.
Well, let's start with the move to right tackle. Just dabbling in it when you look at Kyle Long, and your thoughts on that, Tom, because I know we both think he's athletic enough to do it. He could probably play left tackle if he needed to, but in terms of the power side, just want to get your thoughts about the movement of Kyle Long out to right tackle. Doesn't mean he's going to stay there, but we'll see.
First of all, he has the athleticism to play the position. You have to start with quality feet, because if you don't have quality feet to retain your balance, whether you're run blocking or pass blocking, it's hard to get the job done in a sustained manner. And then you look at the length of his arms and his power. He has all the attributes to play the position. And fortunately for the Bears, that he did so well at his initial installment at right guard that he went to the Pro Bowl. When now you have a talent like that, you have to investigate where he is most needed. Back in our career, you take a guy like Bruce Matthews, a Pro Bowler at every position. Really, the fortunes of the team that drafted him to have an athlete that has the athleticism and the intelligence to move from position to position. So I just think the investigative work, trying to get the best players in the best position, is really what's going to come out of this.
312-644-6767. Let's begin the festivities. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. We'll start with Hoey in Olympia Fields. Ask Tom. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey.
Hello, Hoey.
Hey, Hoey.
Have some, but who was a tougher opponent, Jerry Ball or Eric Swan, to help out on the game? Thank you.
That's a good question. Jerry Ball was a nose guard specifically. He commanded the control of the middle from the center to maybe one of the guards if they shifted around. And he always won the game of leverage. He was short and squatty with a lot of power. Eric Swan, you remember, he did not go to college. He didn't have the tools coming into the NFL that some of the other kids do that go through high school and college football programs. But Eric Swan was dominating. He was quick off the ball. He had great snap count anticipation. I remember being at a preseason game against Arizona and the Bears, and he had, I think, 4 sacks in the first half. So what type of production are you looking for? A defensive tackle, or are you trying to look for the production of a nose guard? Because sometimes it's different. If you can get a nose tackle to stay in the middle and occupy 2 blockers, you're going to set a linebacker free. But if you move him over one of the guards, does he have the size and length to go up and compete against offensive guards?
312-644-6767 is the phone number to ask Tom. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. We go to Barrington. Sean, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
And my question is you know, with the recent happenings with Tom Thibodeau, and you hear, oh, you know, one of the knocks was he'd ride the team very hard, and it led to injuries and some other things tail end of the season. So my question for you guys is, you hear some coaches that ride players hard practices, others that don't. Do you guys think there's a better way to handle it, or is there really no in between, case by case?
You know, I think football is different than basketball, because basketball you have a lot smaller squad, and every time a coach makes a correction, everybody can hear it. So, yeah, in football, it's different. The commands that I had from my offensive line coach, Dick Stanfeld, you had to understand that he's trying to make you a better football player, turn you into the best that you can possibly be. But he can't always say it in the most comfortable way, but it's going to take hard work every day. And that's the key ingredient here. I don't think any player ever shied away from working hard or asking what the coach is asking of you. Do what the coach is asking of you. But now when you're getting talked to by Coach Ditka, you had to have thicker skin, because he wasn't as kind about his comments in front of the rest of the teammates, but that was the part of the resiliency you had to build up. That's what developed the camaraderie with all your teammates. So I don't think getting rid of Thibodeau was the smartest of move, because I was really a big fan of Coach Tibbs. I thought he did a great job there. But again, football is a different. You have to pay different attention to different positions. I think offense, defensive linemen, linebackers, tight ends, you can get in their face a little bit more. Quarterback, you have to have a more of an intellect approach. You have to make sure that the explanation is getting across level-headed, and sometimes with offense and defensive linemen, you can be a little bit more aggressive about your conversation. You just got to let it run off your back and take the comments constructively.
Bonus points for Tom Thayer. Did you hear that, Jim? He went Jeff Van Gundy on us, breaking down the Bulls as well as the Bears. Nice job, Tom.
He never ceases to amaze me. Nice job, Tom.
Rapid-fire football questions for Tom Thayer with a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line at 312-644-6767. Back out to the phones we go. NIU Dave in Downers Grove, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Great show. Tom, I got a question for you about how offensive linemen are coached. How has offensive linemen coaching changed from the 80s to today? Is it still film study, or are there sabermetric type of measures that modern coaching uses to grade out and improve offensive line play?
You know, there has been a change, because, you know, the whole dynamics of having film work and everything is so valuable to a football player, because they don't have to do it with the rest of the team. They can do it by themselves. But they can also watch how their opponent plays to get ready for them. But now in offensive line play, you hear the term zone blocking a lot more than you did in our era. In our era, it was more of an attack-style structure where you anticipated the snap count you burst off the line of scrimmage, and everybody in our era, we moved straight off the ball. Nowadays, you hear zone blocking to allow the defense sometimes to get in position after the snap of the ball, and you can push a player by the hole. There is different aspects to it in different ways you go about it, but you know, it's making sure that all five guys, and then include a tight end, six, or an H-back, could be seven, making sure all these guys work together. And then if there is a subtle change at the line of scrimmage during the quarterback's cadence in the defense moves, you have to make sure every one of those guys are still on the same page, so they move within an organized movement. You can never have guys firing off the ball at different times. You can never have him taken steps in the opposite direction or even their feet off the ground for too long of period. So it's making sure the offensive line is constructed as one unit, no matter what style you teach, an aggressive approach or a zone blocking to get, you know, maybe to the outside or create some running lanes for a running back.
Our final few contestants here with a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line. Ask is the name of the segment. Your football questions for 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Jim in Lindenhurst, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Jim. Hi, how are you doing? I've got a three-part question. I'd like to see if I can put myself in your shoes. As a player who's first drafted, what's the thing that you're concerned about the most before you've played your first NFL game? As a player playing, what's the thing you enjoy the most when you play? And once you retire, what do you miss the most?
That's a good question. First of all, the first thing you need to do if you're drafted in the NFL is mentally, you better know every one of your assignments. Because the one thing about it is they can coach you through physical mistakes. They can make you a stronger player. They can get you ready. But if you go out there and mentally you don't know your assignments, you don't know the snap count, you're making critical mistakes, going in the wrong direction, blocking the wrong guy, and now you're messing up the 10 other guys. So to me, that was the most important thing for any young player of any position anywhere, is you got to know your assignments. What was the number two thing? Because I know the last thing, what do I miss most about after football? I miss most is the camaraderie with the guys. And whether it's the off-season weight room responsibilities or the sessions you had after practice where it was just you in the locker room with your buddies hanging out, either complaining about the day, complaining about a missed block or something that takes place in practice, that's the thing you miss most. But Zach, you got to help me out with the second one.
Hey, listen, he got two questions in there. I know he wanted a third, but this is Ask Tom one question, not Ask Tom.
But I like it because, you know, again, we're talking a lot about the young kids, and you talked about the show about the rookies. All these rookies, you know, they have a background they can play. But, again, it's about your mental investment. And whether you're an offensive lineman or a quarterback, that is the one thing that will get you cut the quickest if you do not know your assignments every time you break the huddle.
School doesn't end even though you're in the NFL. Hinsdale, Brian, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Ryan. Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so I had a question about, you know, it's been very impressive to see the coaching staff that's been assembled for this year, but at the same time, it doesn't seem that the talent on the team is such that they're going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. So do you think that they're going to really be able to get the full use out of this coaching staff before it may get, you know, poached to take head coaching jobs with some of the coordinators that they have on the staff?
You know, it's all going to see how things pan out. Is that's when you get the evaluation of the coaches. But I think the coaches, they have an understanding of what they want to do on defense, and they have how things are going to change offensively. And if you take one thing, for example, if you take Matt Forte, who's one of the top running backs in the league, but if you give him a little bit more of a committee to work with, and he's a fresher body at the end of the season, but now that puts the pressure, making sure the offensive line is playing up to their capabilities. Because if the success of this team offensively is controlled by the running game and the offensive line, it's just going to ease all the other issues that you have, and it's going to continue to open the door for other opportunities, because you can get Kevin White involved, and you can get Royal involved, and you can get all these other receivers involved if you have a top-notch running game. So I think that's the key ingredient here, is what we saw last year was not an example of what you need to succeed in terms of the running game. So that's one area that you're going to have to improve on, and that will make every other position better, and that's, you know, and it will help the coaches. But I think the coaching changes on defense, the personnel, what you're going to do as a scheme, I think it's going to be really helpful. Because when you have Coach Fangio, he's one of the top defensive coaches in the league. In whether you like the personnel coming in, it's going to be about the way the personnel competes once they start getting into practices and pads and everything, where the true evaluation is going to come. So I think the personnel is there. It's, you know, how do they fit together? How do they gel within the first 3 to 5 weeks of the season and then the eighth week? So I think the coaches are quality coaches to make sure they get this talent organized in the right position.
I think Jim's going to have a tough time picking a winner. Our final contestant, Brian in Lombard, asked Tom.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, other than the Kyle Fuller, what defensive draft pick from Phil Emery do you think will have the most success under Vic Fangio and John Fox?
Oh, that's a great question. What defensive coaches that were drafted by Phil Emery are going to have success in this new defense? Well, you know, you got to think of Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton. They're going to be given an opportunity to expand their game on the defensive line. They're not going to be a two-technique, one-technique defensive tackle. They're going to have to move around from either the nose guard to the defensive end position. So those are two guys up front that I'm interested in seeing. And then I want to see what happens with Shea McClellan. He's changed around a defensive end, outside linebacker. Now he's an inside linebacker in a 34 defense, and a lot of times he's going to be facing up against an uncovered offensive lineman, and he's going to have to be able to get better at shedding blocks, to be stronger at the point of attack, to make sure he can disengage and get involved in the play, and then have the pass coverage responsibilities. But those three guys are I'm most interested in because they have – a lot of changes about the positions they played up until this point. And if you can expand your value, you're going to become more useful for the team you're playing for. If you can't expand your roles, it's going to be a tough decision for the coaches. But, you know, that's what you're obligated to, is play the position and play it effectively where they're going to put you in.
Good stuff. Tom, you did your job. Now it's time to pick a winner, and that's Judge Jim Miller's job.
Ooh, it's a great question, as you mentioned, Zach. And I'm going to go with Brian from Hinsdale because he was talking about how the Bears roster and how is that going to affect John Fox in terms of how much time will he have to turn this team around. And I do believe this. I think with good coaches, you're going to see, you know, marked improvement because they maximize talent. Is what they do. And I think John Fox has shown a history to do that, but I think Brian is going to win it. He was the fifth caller of the day.
Congratulations to Brian from Hinsdale on winning the gift certificate to Sports Authority. Tom, thank you so much. We'll talk next week.
All right, thank you, Zach.
Tom Thayer, the 85 Bear, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. Jim, when we come back, one of the things that I want to hit on, because we often hear OTA, minicamp, but I don't think people really know what takes place. What's the difference now after these 10 OTA sessions? What do the players have to exhibit on the field come next week during mandatory minicamp? That's next on Bears All Access with Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Super Bear Shuffle 5K, powered by PowerPlate, takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Jim, can you give us an idea for people who obviously have not been out there and gone through the rigors of an OTA and then had that translate into a mandatory minicamp? What changes between what the Bears have done for the last few weeks to what takes place next week at Halas Hall?
Well, first, OTA stands for Organized Team Activity. And John Fox, he's one of seven new coaches. So he also had the benefit of a voluntary minicamp. And now this is phase three of the offseason program, where you have a mandatory minicamp. It's just as it sounds. It's mandatory. I mean, players have to be there. They're subject to fines if they do not show up. So it's an opportunity to get the whole team together. The install period, they did that probably during the voluntary minicamp, where they installed, hey, this is what we'd like to do. During the OTAs, they continue to do it, to install, and sometimes go back and reinstall things to hit players with it a second time. Now's an opportunity to hit players a third time with a mandatory minicamp of, this is what we're trying to do, both offensively, defensively, special teams, and then you'll come back now at training camp and install again a fourth time. So you're covering things over and over again. But mandatory is just as it sounds. You still have, you know, in some of the OTAs, there's not a lot of contact. I think we know that. The intensity picks up during a mandatory minicamp. There's a sense of urgency here of what the coach and his mission statement is. And you've got your whole team there because it's mandatory to hear that message. So it's a great opportunity for John Fox and his coaching staff and for players as well, for Martellus Bennett to show up and learn the offense. Hey, Matt Forte would like more money too. He's been there for the Chicago Bears. So get the team together, and John Fox will talk to them as a unit to tell them what he expects come training camp and install and have these players learn all the three phases of football of what he expects come training camp time.
I want to remind you that this week on Inside the Bears, Bears players and coaches get together for a good cause, and Anthony Adams asks fans to show off their emoji faces. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. Spots. Now, what I find interesting, I'm just thinking about what a Jim Miller emoji face would be like, yeah. And thank goodness we're on the radio and we don't have to see it.
I'm always smiling. I'm smiling right now, Zach.
That is true.
Fire it up.
We're talking football. It's a good thing. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again next weekend, special Sunday edition of Bears All Access right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. For Jim, I'm Zach. Thank you for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.